Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Are you an entrepreneur or are you an intrapreneur? Very little has been written about this. Very little has been talked about this. And yet I hear it all the time, almost every day, as the chair of entrepreneurship at Cedarville University. And my buddy, Scott, who Kaylin and he, man, we go way back, long, long time. But I was recently on Facebook and I saw this pop up about intrapreneur. And I'm like, finally, someone's talking about it. Scott Benham, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I mean, so just to go really quickly back, I mean, I met you in the John Maxwell organization and, you know, I had some great times with you and Kaylin. And then, you know, you became part of the tribe and, you know, things kept growing. And then, you know, we kind of lost a little connection and you've developed this Intrapreneur Academy. And we just started talking pre-show and I'm like, hold on, we got to hit record because we're getting into too much good stuff here. But first of all, what is an intrapreneur?
An intrapreneur is somebody who operates with an entrepreneurial mindset, like an entrepreneurial spirit, but like their goal is not to build their own thing. In fact, they want to build the thing, the vision, the mission of the entrepreneur. So it's almost like you're a surrogate. Like you look to the vision, you look to the outcome. Sometimes it's a movement, sometimes it's a mission that like of that entrepreneur, and you can see it. It so far aligns with like who you are and what you want to bring into the world that you take it on as your own, you adopt it, and you implement it inside of the organization. And man, like I think entrepreneurship is the way of the future. And I think what we find, if we look deep enough, it's been the way of the past. It just hasn't been, like you mentioned, talked about enough.
I appreciate you because we're really unfiltered here and we're just going right at it. I'm going to tell you that there's going to be people who hear this and think that they are less than. They're going to think that they're second level, that they're not as cool, that they're not as, rock star-ish because they're an intrapreneur versus an entrepreneur. Like maybe they're weaker, they're scared. What do you say to that? Because we'll talk about that in a moment, but what do you say to that fear?
I always say that there are no second class citizens, right? Mm. Like, so I acknowledge and agree with that the drum of entrepreneurship has been pounded so loudly and it's such a cool, edgy thing to be a part of. But what I think that does when we really look at like the construct that's created, it's created a huge separation. You have entrepreneurs and then you have employees. And that is very much like everybody, all the entrepreneurs are up here and the employees are down here. And from an entrepreneur's perspective, it can kind of feel not to the untrained eye or ear, but like if you're immature in your entrepreneurship journey, it can feel like you're not getting as much shine, you're not getting as much celebration. But the idea, right, the idea of entrepreneurship is that's not really what you're there for, right? You're there to actually build. You don't need to be in the limelight. In fact, many people who find themselves in the limelight and then are like, you know what, this entrepreneurship isn't for me. I think what they've just done is maybe overemphasized the entrepreneurial spirit that they carry and think it needs to look a certain way, right? Just like, you know, any other construct that we have, like masculinity needs to look a certain way or femininity needs to look a certain way. It's like entrepreneurship doesn't have to look a certain way. That spirit that they have can be expressed internally because entrepreneurs, they're solving problems at scale, right? But they're out in front, they're pioneering, they're building bridges and breaking down walls, right? Well, entrepreneurs are doing the same thing, but they're doing it within the organization.
Yeah.
Right? It might be, you know, across departments, right? Or it might be right within your realm of responsibility. So that's why I think it's such an important conversation to have.
So here's what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but here's how I explain it. Entrepreneurs often have the same gifts, skill set, and wiring as an entrepreneur. But they're not the ones who are putting up the financial risk. Is that oversimplifying it? And let me give you a quick example biblically. Nehemiah, I think, was an entrepreneur. He saw a need, the walls breaking down. He felt the pain, but he didn't say, "And I'm gonna go bankroll it." He went to the king and said, "Man, here's the problem, and I'll go do it. You give me the papers and the supplies. I'm gonna take risk." And he did take risk. He left safety and comfort, but he was funded by the king, much like Christopher Columbus was funded by the king and queen. Very entrepreneurial, but they themselves were not putting up the financial risk. What do you think about that?
I think 100%. And the reason I love that story even more is when you look at how Nehemiah equipped and activated people, like they were building the walls right where they lived.
Right.
Like, so he activated their entrepreneurial spirit to the impact that they could have proximate to where they lived, proximate to their safety, their security, you know, the overall vision. Like, he equipped them in that way. So I 100% agree with that definition. And I think I might not know the story as well, but weren't there people in Nehemiah's life that like kind of maybe weren't as supportive of him in terms of what he was trying to accomplish and where he was trying to go?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They basically, there was another, I don't know if it was another tribe or it was another, could have been the half tribes, but basically they were saying, "Why didn't you tell us? We would have came, there's been times in Israel's history where they got, almost like, distracted. They could have got distracted, but they were like, "Nope, we're focused. We're going to do it." And then, yeah, they had to finish the wall with like a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other because there was danger. Yeah.
100%. And I think, like, there's a picture of entrepreneurship in that, right? Like,
oh, yeah. You might even say the disciples.
100%.
I mean, the disciples left their nets and their father and the fishing business to follow Jesus, but they didn't bankroll it themselves.
Right. I love how with Paul and Barnabas, right? Like, Barnabas was the great encourager, right? So I just think, like, it falls a little short when you just lean on encouragement, because it actually is about building and execution and creation and just delivering the things that need to get done so that the mission can be fulfilled. Right. That's so you just wonder, man, how much of the dirty work, so to speak, like that was Barnabas doing, but like he didn't carry, you know, the certain levels of grace and authority necessarily that Paul carried,
right?
But man, he had to be an amazing support person, amazing executor, amazing galvanizer, all those things.
Yeah. I love this talk, and we got into the conversation. I'm going to actually show people the quiz. So a lot of times students come in my office and they say, by the way, you know, I still run companies, and I would say that I attract intrapreneurs. So there's people on my team. I'm going to just throw out Tanisha's name once. So Tanisha, you remember Tanisha? I don't know if you remember Tanisha, but she still works for us. And she's an intrapreneur, meaning I can give her, "Hey, there's this new thing called personal AI, artificial intelligence. I'm going to pay you. I want you to go research it. I want you to go check it out. I want you to go see if we should do things with it." And I just have her go. And I've had her do that probably with, I bet you, 6 different things. And if I gave that to somebody who was a high S in DISC, they'd be like, "Whoa, hold on, wait, what are the boundaries? Wait, hold on, you know, should I do that? What do you think?" No, I can launch her because she's very entrepreneurial. But I think a Tanisha would tell you that she's not going to fund it. She's not that much of an entrepreneur.
Right.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I appreciate you bringing us full circle. The entrepreneurial spirit got me off on a little bit of a tangent, but like the financial risk falling on the entrepreneur is a clear differentiator. I would say like there's a different type of risk that an entrepreneur takes, right? Mm-hmm. Like that risk is kind of the risk of innovation within the organization is a key one. It doesn't always cost them financially, right? But the entrepreneur, what they're paying for with an entrepreneur, right? That investment, right? Because you know, they get paid first before the entrepreneur. Like the entrepreneur gets paid after everybody else, right? So the risk is 100% on them. The risk on the entrepreneur is how do we solve these problems so that we can elevate, equip, release the entrepreneur from the day-to-day that they don't need to be bogged down with, right? And like, so that's a really key differentiation right there.
That's good. So let's take people to this book, Gino Wickman's book, E-Leap. E-Leap, as I mentioned to you, you take people to the crystallizer test, which is based on rocket fuel, which is based on, are you a visionary or an integrator? And that's a great concept. But then you have this other concept about, do you have what it takes to be an entrepreneur? And I've never read a book where the author is actually trying to convince you not to be one. Like that's, Scott, if you haven't read this book, you got to read it, because he really takes on the role of like, if you can be anything but an entrepreneur, you should absolutely not be one, because it's going to be really, 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 really hard. And Darren Hardy wrote a book called Entrepreneur Roller Coaster about a decade earlier. And again, he takes on the role of like, you shouldn't be one. So I appreciate this other perspective that people are saying, we're not going to tell you it's all easy and it's simple and you should do it. And I took that E-Leap test and I think I want to say I'm like a 96, and you got to be a 90. So it was very hard for me, Scott, to think about being an employee for the first time in 12, 13 years to come back to Cedarville and teach. But I had really open, honest conversations. And I said, if I come, here's how I need to play. Not as an arrogance thing, but as like a, hey, I want you guys to know what you're getting. And if this isn't going to work, let's both of us decide first. And they're like, no, we actually want you to play in that space. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to create things like Q, Cedarville University Entrepreneurship, Q School, which I can't get you the handout right now, but it's around here. But I started all these things that have definitely been edgy, and they've been blowing the lid off Cedarville. And they've been really edgy for them, because in higher academics, things go slow. But you know what? They've been so cool with it, and they knew what they were getting into, and it's working amazing. Even this podcast, they're letting me put their name on it, and yet I'm interviewing you, and they've never met you, you know? Yeah. So let's talk about that, Scott. First of all, you have this thing called Entrepreneur Academy. What are you doing it, man?
Long story short, we're training people how to think, and almost inviting them into the identity of an entrepreneur, right? Wow. And in so doing, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find like the constructs that exist outside of them and invite them into something new, right? The easiest one is employee versus entrepreneur, right? But if we look at the like just the gig economy that's kind of really come on the scene over the last, you know, decade or more. Yep. People can kind of define what they are and what they look like. So we have a variety of different entrepreneurial and entrepreneurial kind of certifications and roles out there that I find like really interesting, right? So one is like the DOO, the director of operations, right? You've got, like you mentioned Gino Wickman before, you got integrators and you got visionaries. Like there's a distinction there. And then you have even OBMs, right? Online business managers, or VAs and EAs. And when you look at these in their entirety, entrepreneurs have kind of leveraged them in a variety of different fashions, but there still seems to be a gap. Like when I work with entrepreneurs, I'm typically working with 7 and 8 figure entrepreneurs who are operating at a high level, but the frustration that they experience is that they're still involved in the day to day. And as you know, like your highest and greatest good is pioneering and being the forerunner and staying out in front, right? Not actually trying to review ad copy and make sure that the processes are dialed in. And do we have an SOP for that, right? That usually drains an entrepreneur's vision. And as a result, like what we're trying to accomplish is we're trying to almost exit the entrepreneur out of the day-to-day and some of the meat of entrepreneurship, I think, comes in the distinction of those other certifications and other roles, because I honor those roles wholeheartedly, because they're doing what kind of we are setting out to do, is create a distinction for people who identify as an entrepreneur, or maybe they consider themselves, and this is really where I think most of the prevalence of entrepreneurship comes from, is they've failed as entrepreneurs. And they tried and they failed and they don't understand why. And they're so fed up, but then they go back to being an employee, and there's nothing wrong with being an employee. But as you mentioned, the navigation between you and Cedarville of employee versus entrepreneur, it can be very, I don't know, for me, it feels like it's a tug of war, right? So there's a lot to unpack there and how we go about it. So some of it's more identity driven, when we're saying, hey, this is what an entrepreneur is. An entrepreneur is somebody who comes alongside an entrepreneur who basically adopts their vision, right? We call that co-missioning, right? We're going on mission together. And it's all in the heart and spirit of partnership, which, if we can be honest, like, is not that prevalent, right? No. Most of the narrative is entrepreneur makes the business decisions. Everyone serves the king or the queen. And it's like, well, that separation actually is kind of broken, right? I have a kingdom mindset of it. I don't believe there's second class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. So it's like, well, shoot, nobody is less than in the kingdom. So how do we make sure that we can kind of like reflect what that looks like here? Because they have gifts, they have talents, they have abilities, the visionaries, the entrepreneurs of the world, but the entrepreneurs are the way, they're the secret to scale in most of these situations.
Back when I was a pastor, I started in 2001 at the Powell Church. Prior to that, I was a senior pastor of a small country church. But I would say I functioned as an entrepreneur at that church. But it became very clear very soon that I was wired as an entrepreneur. And so I went to the senior pastor and I'm like, hey, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to write books and all this stuff. And he said, we're going to create a separate board for you to keep you accountable, you know, because he's real worried about like, hey, is this guy going to be rogue and all this stuff. So I worked within an organization for 8 years, kind of like an entrepreneur, but I also had my side gig outside and they knew about it. I feel like, Scott, this podcast is going to free up so many people, because I do feel, even the students come in my room and they're like, hey, you know, I think I'm an entrepreneur. And I start talking to them. I'm like, man, I don't think they are. And then I have them take that ELEAP test and it shows that they're like 60 or 70%. And Gino's pretty adamant, like, you got to be 90 or nothing. And so I, rather than discourage them and be like, no, you don't have what it takes, I say, you know what? I think you're wired like an entrepreneur. And their eyes light up and they're like, ooh, what is that? So I just went to your podcast. When did this podcast start?
So we just started the podcast.
I saw you had like one episode.
Yeah, we just started the podcast like 2 weeks ago. That's amazing. We're starting to put some more content in it. And the next kind of 5 to 7 episodes are just going to be foundational stuff. Like, what is co-mission look like? And how do we create that with entrepreneurs? And it's a level of like, it's an invitation for somebody to step into that next level. And I think that's the part that's exciting. Mm-hmm. But as you know, like, being a pioneer that you are, Carrie, like, sometimes you just have to play that music over and over and over again. I mean, what, like, Tony Robbins has been doing Unleash the Power Within for what, 45 years or something like that. So it's a long game. And I think we have a really unique opportunity I don't want to say control the narrative, because I don't think narratives need to be controlled. Just really like shine light on something that exists that gives permission for people to operate at a higher level.
And I think there's levels of entrepreneur. I just finished Elon Musk's audiobook, and I'm like, that guy's uber entrepreneur. And I, you know, I'm not saying, ooh, I'm Elon Musk or anything, but there are portions of it where I'm like, yeah, I can totally relate. I'm there. And then there's other portions where I'm like, dang. Like, I did not realize until I read that audiobook why he bought Twitter. And a lot of people don't know why he really bought Twitter. But at first you're like, man, that guy's distracted. He's bored. He's just an entrepreneur who needs to spend money. And then you realize, no, no, no. His ultimate mission of getting people on Mars never changed. And he felt like the public square was being eliminated and there would be no society to get to Mars unless he protected the public square, which was purchasing Twitter. So now you're like, whoa, now he's like, oh my gosh, like he did something I would have never done because he was uber entrepreneur. So I feel like we get into this comparison game and we start flexing and we're like, oh, that guy's really big or that woman's really tough, you know. What do you see? I know we only have a few minutes left. You got a Facebook group. You got hundreds of people. Do you have a website yet? What's coming next? You got 356 people in your group. What's next with entrepreneurs and you?
What's next on entrepreneurs is we're going to start really like busting out a lot of organic content so that we can start to just spread the message a little bit more broadly. We've been pretty niche down in terms of like the communities that I've been involved in that some of, you know, we have some, you know, common communities we've been involved in where people can know us, like us, trust us, things like that. So I think the beginnings are just started there. We do have a website that I always point entrepreneurs to, because right now, if I had to be totally frank, like our message resonates way more with entrepreneurs than it does with entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs.
Really?
Because entrepreneurs feel the pain, right? We know like the more pain you feel, the more solution awareness that you have. So if you go to funagainnow.com, funagainnow is just based off of like, it's kind of a marketing, you know, spin-off of make America great again, right? Mm. But make entrepreneurship fun again. Like entrepreneurship's not fun when the entrepreneurs are weighed down in the day-to-day, are the ones that are at the central hub of everything, all communication, all approvals, all leadership, right? Mm-hmm. They need to duplicate themselves as an entrepreneur. And that's how we currently serve like our tribe. Like our tribe, we serve entrepreneurs. We help them grow and scale their businesses, right? And then we take those learnings and we invite the Entrepreneur Academy group into understanding what that looks like. So it could be, hey, here's how you can think like an entrepreneur, operate like an entrepreneur. Let's create a best-selling book, you know, using AI, right? Yeah. And I know you've got a ton of content around AI, so I don't even want to dip my toe into that water yet. But it's like, yeah, there's so much more we can do to serve our entrepreneurs, and that just unlocks them. That like frees them up, and their creative juices just go insane. Because the best possible testimonial I've ever had was one of my recent clients. He said, "I've never had somebody care as much about my business as I do, right? You create time leverage for me that I didn't even know I had." And that's the goal. Like, what if we could unleash entrepreneurs to let the good that they have in their hearts and their minds and their souls and their spirits to actually be implemented faster? Mm-hmm. Because we all know, like, entrepreneurs, they stop because they fail because they are not supported. And man, like, that's part of our mission. Like, we wanna elevate entrepreneurship, right, by simultaneously elevating entrepreneurship. This is not a competition. It's a win-win-win.
Here's what I see happening. I see your thing becoming a matchmaking experience where you're going to have – you already have ties to entrepreneurs. I feel like – correct me if I'm wrong, because I believe that all books come out of our woundedness – that we've now turned into a strength. The area of your deepest wound is often the area of your greatest impact. Well, let me guess, you were an entrepreneur who thought you had to be an entrepreneur. What do you think?
Yep. And I was an entrepreneur who felt marginalized, unseen, uncared about, unvalued.
Yeah.
And a lot of the successes that I got to create were never attributed to me. They were given to somebody else, right? Wow. And I think there's enough credit to go around. I think we can all win, and everybody can be celebrated.
I think it's a great thing. Looking back at the life of the Igniting Souls tribe, I think we attracted a lot of entrepreneurs, but I didn't have the vocabulary at that time to understand. I felt like people either employees or uber entrepreneurs, and I didn't have the maturity nor vocabulary to say, hold on, I think you're an entrepreneur. Last couple things here. I think that we started with, before we pressed record, we started with visionary integrator. I think I see the difference being that you can think on this, Scott, and let me know what you think sometimes. But I think that strategic coaches helped me realize that there's entrepreneurial companies. Okay. So some companies are wired entrepreneurial, where innovation is celebrated, not conformity. You know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe think about this, you and Kaylin. But so I think there are definitely environments where, like, you're taught to conform, you march in line, it's highly litigious or, I mean, we publish financial advisors all the time, and these guys are like, oh my gosh, I got to check with, I won't say their names, but I got to check with so-and-so to see what I can say. And then there's other companies that are entrepreneurial. We think of the Googles, the Apples, the Metas that are like attracting, the Zappos, you know? And so I would think that an integrator may not be, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know. Like, I need to think about, I can't answer it today. I'm not going to answer it today. I don't know if an entrepreneur and an integrator are one. What do you think? Give us 60 seconds.
I think there could be a whole part two to this conversation, but I think an entrepreneur can carry an integrator skill set. Not everybody can see, adopt, and implement a vision of somebody else, right? And the way to do that does matter, because the entrepreneur never wants to lose the agency, the control, but not hard-handed control, but the agency over how the vision is being implemented, right? So we always say it's the six P's, right? It's problem, priority, procedure, process, product, partnership, right? So problem, there's tons of them. Priority, you invite the entrepreneur on a regular basis. That could be stand-ups, that could be level 10 meetings, whatever it might be. They're the ones that establish priority. Right. They're the ones that establish that until such a time that I, as an entrepreneur, can do it by myself. But at some point in time, I'm at capacity and I need to look to you and say, Carrie, here's the three things that I think are the most important. Can you guide me? And you're like, you know what? It's 3-1-2, not 1-2-3. And then I can go. And that gets created based off of their vision. So they're fulfilled and they never have to worry about, you know, are we working on the wrong things? Which I think can be a big concern for entrepreneurs.
I love it. I got to run to be with a client, Scott Benham, Kaylin Benham, Entrepreneur Academy. They got a new podcast. To me, this is a very blue ocean. It's untapped. Many people have not even thought about it. I think you're going to go big places with this, Scott. All right.
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you having me.
All right. And best website.
Best website right now is going to be our Facebook group. So just search Entrepreneur Academy on Facebook. Or if you're an entrepreneur, it's funagainnow.com.
Love it. All right, man. Take care.
Take care, Carrie.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.